I've still got to bake my Christmas pie.
I've got to get Dad a lousy tie.
Just the other day, The Simpsons Holiday Show featured a reworking, you might say, of Tchaikovsky's celebrated Christmas classic, The Nutcracker. Composer Alf Clausen, who arranges all the classical, jazz, pop, and unclassifiable music on The Simpsons, and who writes all the original songs, too, revels in that variety.
Even though we're not Gentile, we'll get together for a while.
Kiss your debris.
And eat Chinese.
Because Christmas Eve is here. Oi!
It's funny, you know, after composing the music for probably over 325 episodes now, and I think that we've covered every possible musical style, and all of a sudden they'll spring another one on me, and I'll say, oh, forgot about that one. So they keep coming.
Clausen and the Simpsons team are following in the footsteps of their predecessors. The old-time animated cartoons that drew from every musical genre, but especially the ones that used classical music.
It goes back all the way to the very beginning. Classical music appears in cartoons from the late 1920s.
Daniel Goldmark is the author of a book on the subject, Tunes for Tunes. It tells the history of the long, fruitful relationship between music and the cartoons we knew and loved. Bugs Bunny, Tom and Jerry, Tweety and Sylvester, and all the rest. From them, we learned a kind of cartoon canon of great musical moments. What grandiose impulse was it, you may ask, that led to using such highbrow music for a much more lowbrow form?
Classical music was free. That was really the main reason to use it. Most early film scores as well would use classical music because so much of it could be used without having to pay royalties. It was in the public domain, and there's nothing the studios like better than cheap or free music.
It was free, and it was popular. And it was big business. Stars like Heifetz and Toscanini, Stokowski and Rachmaninoff were household names. And certain melodies were household themes. And the cartoons just reinforced their popularity.
La da 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 la da 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 la 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 la.
Most of the music in cartoons is only heard for maybe half a minute at a time, at most. And so we have this boiling down of musical ideas to really their most essential, most recognizable bits. And you immediately know not just what the piece is, but what emotions that piece is supposed to signify. And that comes from decades of watching films and watching cartoons and hearing that music associated with things other than that music.
Sunrises, for example. Sunrises were always by Grieg. And talk about boiling down. The pièce de résistance of the cartoon classical music combo is, of course, the ever-popular What's Opera Doc? 7 minutes of fun with music from five Wagner operas.
Be very quiet. I'm hunting rabbits.
What is it about opera that seems to mesh so well with cartoons?
It just fits perfectly.
Almighty warrior of great fighting stock. Might I inquire to ask him, what's up, Doc?
The music does such a good job of conveying the kind of overwrought emotions that Chuck Jones was trying to get at by way of making fun of Wagner.
Kill the rabbit, kill the rabbit, kill the rabbit.
Poor little bunny.
Naturally, there's a tragic ending.
Poor little rabbit.
Well, what did you expect in an opera? A happy ending?
That was the ridiculous approach, and you also had Disney attempting a more sublime way of going about it.
Now, there are three kinds of music on this Fantasia program. First, there's the kind that tells a definite story.
You look at something like Fantasia, which is so loving and so reverential to the music and to the traditions.
Fantasia even had commentary by Deems Taylor, the classical music icon. So Disney set itself up as a kind of connoisseur of the music.
Mr. Stokowski!
With the great Stokowski teaming up with Mickey Mouse.
Congratulations to you, Mickey.
And that set up kind of a culture war in the animation world.
Warner Brothers loved to make fun of Disney. It was just such a perfect target.
So they had What's Opera Doc, but also Rabbit of Seville, Long-Haired Hare.
And there's plenty of others where they really make fun of these ideas of what classical music is about.
And there are multiple cartoons using the Liszt Hungarian Rhapsody No. 2.
So we have these very quick gags, one right after the other.
Cha, cha, cha.
And that's really what makes that cartoon, all of those Hungarian Rhapsody cartoons, work.
The interesting thing is that classical music in cartoons has been subject to a complete reversal.
I think when these cartoons were first being produced, that the tunes were definitely in the air. People knew these songs. In fact, I think that's why they were used in the first place. People would have an association, and so by putting them in the cartoon, it gave them that extra kind of resonance.
Now these melodies are in cartoons and in commercials and on everyone's cell phone, and so people are actually learning the tunes that way.
Christmas is a family day.
I told Grandpa we'd be away.
He's at the door.
Let's hit the floor, 'cause Christmas Eve is here.
Children who've not seen or heard the Nutcracker will hear it plenty this Christmas. Simpsons composer Alf Clausen loved doing his own arrangements of the themes from Tchaikovsky's ballet and thought, well, this is a piece that's so great you just can't overuse it.
But after having lived with it for the last 10 days, and now I sit down to watch television for about 20 minutes and hear 15 versions of it, I say, enough! I confess! Take me out!
Did cartoons and, as The Simpsons likes to call itself, animated comedies help harm classical music by reducing it to a few pop themes? Maybe at one time. But at the moment, you'd have to say they're keeping it very much alive. Long live the Liszt Hungarian Rhapsody No. 2, in any guise. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fischko.